absolutely. And she
selected those.
And yeah. she selected those. But what we've heard also is, and what we are seeing behind us, is that there is community concern with the perception of, as well as the process behind, having citizens being chosen by the chief of police. And that the community concern is that that in order to increase the transparency as well as participation, it should be from an independent source that these citizens come to the board. And that's what we've heard, is that they want an independent source choosing that citizen that comes to the board. And they are being chosen by you as well. You have to confirm them. And that's how we've put it in to make sure that the Bureau does have their votes, because the police commissioner will be.
Okay. Commissioner Fritz?
But the police chief currently has selected those mm-hmm. citizens. And
right.
I'm concerned about the perception that we're saying that some citizens are not worthy of serving on that board, in particular some of our current citizen volunteers who put in a lot of time on that board are not worthy. This is a pool of people, remember.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, and that's what we're saying, is that we're responding to the community concerns regarding the process by which citizens are chosen to be on this board is okay. by the Bureau itself.
So and we're going to, unless you have a
different point, is that all right? And
yes.
the protection that we've put in, based on what we've heard from the Bureau, based on what we've heard from the unions, based on what from the PPCOA, based on what we've heard from the ACs, is that we want to make sure that the Bureau is involved in the selection criteria, the confidentiality provisions, that they're involved in setting the rules, if you will, of who can be part of that pool. So we have responded to that concern by making them part of that selection criteria, make sure that the ACs, as well as the Bureau leadership or members of the Bureau or the chief herself, has input in that selection criteria and the manner in which they're chosen.
And is that new?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, Commissioner Saltzman, I'll recognize you to begin making motions, and we'll tick our way through the four.
Okay. Well, I would move the, as I said, the First Amendment that the auditor and the chief of police select the police review board citizen members, and those are confirmed by the city council.
It's been moved. Is it seconded? No second.
Okay.
Please move to your next amendment.
The Second Amendment, I guess I would say the Bureau is responsible for any costs associated with facilitation of the board up to $10,000 per fiscal year for the first year, and that the council will review requests for additional funding if it turns out to exceed $10,000.
It's been moved. Is there a second? Please make it fails for lack of a second. Please make your next amendment.
The board facilitator shall write the statement of recommended findings and discipline and any summary and submit that to the chief within 2 weeks of the board meeting date.
So I will second that for the sake of discussion.
It's been moved and seconded. Discussion.
So is it your intent to make sure that those recommended findings happen in a facilitated fashion quick?
Yes.
So are you tied to the 2 weeks? Can we replace the 2 weeks with in a timely manner? If you can say in a timely manner, I could live with that. But I'm just worried, knowing the complexity of some of these issues, that we could be putting an undue hardship. I'd like to be able to support this, but I'd like it to have language that's a little more flexible than 2 weeks.
Here, may I be heard on this?
But Commissioner Fish?
Yeah. I could support timely manner as well, and because of the process which is to follow, which is to flush out details and also monitor this on a regular basis, it seems to me entirely reasonable that if in the first year's review we find that these are not being done in a timely manner, or the timely manner standard needs to be
defined,
then we
change it. Yeah.
Then I think we tighten it. And I think by making the change you're suggesting, Dan, you are setting in place the expectation, but allowing the process to unfold. And if they're not done in a timely manner, I'm sure this council will set a appropriate timeline.
Commissioner so Fritz?
If you accept, I'm just wondering if you accept as a friendly amendment, Commissioner.
I want to speak to the motion.
Well, I'd like to hear what Commissioner Fritz says, and I'll respond.
Thank you. I think with the whole purpose of what we're trying to do here is clarity and to set definite expectations for what it is we want to have happen. So I'd rather have the specific 2 weeks. If that turns out to be a problem, then we can go to timely manner, but we don't know what a timely manner is. So I would, I think this is a good amendment.
I guess my preference would be to stick, because timely manner can mean different things to different people. 2 weeks is a good way to go, and I think if it shows that, if it turns out 2 weeks clearly is not enough time, then we can work it out. But I think as an aspirational goal, we should start with 2 weeks.
So I make, Mayor Adams?
Yes, sir.
I'd move to amend the amendment by striking within 2 weeks the board meeting date and inserting in a timely manner.
I'll second that.
We are now, it's been moved and seconded, an amendment to the amendment, and that means the statement now reads, we're going to be...
We have to vote on that.
Yeah, I know.
Amendment first.
The statement now reads, this, and submit the statement to the chief within a timely manner of the board meeting date.
We're actually, the only thing we're voting on is...
the amendment to the amendment.
Which would be just within a timely manner.
Right. Striking. I said the statement now reads. I wanted the audience to hear the
okay.
full statement.
Sorry.
It takes a whole village sometimes.
Can you all look at the village every now and then to see which way we're going?
Thanks. We have monitors here, too, so we can see you on TV. You all look great, by the way. Especially, a lot of movement going on.
We like, especially Ms. Harris, I just have to say.
All right, so we are now voting on the amendment to the amendment, which is inserting the word timely manner and striking within 2 weeks.
Within a timely manner.
Sorry, we are striking 2 weeks and inserting the words timely manner. Please call the vote.
Well, I'm sorry, Mayor, I don't mean to be picky here, but we're striking the words within 2 weeks of the board meeting date and inserting the words submit the statement to the chief within a timely manner.
So we are striking the words 2 weeks of the board meeting and replacing it with
date.
Timely manner.
Within a timely manner.
Right, we're not striking the word within. Carla, can you please call the... vote on the amendment to the amendment.
Fritz? But just so you all know, we're not done tonight until the mayor bangs the gavel. So you will have an opportunity to comment on this. If what we just put into on the table as the amendment isn't what you want, you can comment on it when you come up to testify. I don't support the amendment because I think this is about the recommended the statement of the recommending findings and discipline. So it's after the board's had its discussion and made a decision, we want somebody to write that up and get it to the chief within 2 weeks. I think that's entirely reasonable, so I don't support the timely manner. No.
Fish.
The amendment modifies the proposal before us by clarifying that there is a time restriction. The choice is whether it's in a timely manner or in a two-week period. I do not believe this is absolutely fundamental. I do believe, out of comedy and respect for the authors, that if the two authors believe that timely manner at this stage meets the spirit of this and it can be revisited at some point, that I think out of respect I will join with the authors in modifying it so it has in a timely manner. And if that is insufficient, I will support a restricted timeline. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I think that, I appreciate the spirit of the suggestion by Commissioner Leonard, but, to me, timely manner is too broad. I think 2 weeks really, puts everybody's feet to the fire to do the job. One of the concerns, its overarching concerns about the reforms of this ordinance are getting things done in a timely manner and getting them done expeditiously. And to the extent the ordinance is specifying timelines about all other aspects of the IPR investigation, I think we should have a specific timeline of 2 weeks that the recommendation gets to the chief's desk. So I'm voting no. Yes, I'm voting
on
no.
On the amendment.
Yes,
right.
You're voting no.
Yes, I'm voting.
Well, if the police or chief...
We're voting.
I voted. I called Leonard.
Oh, you did? I apologize.
If the chief of police can take 3 years after recommended findings come to her desk to make a decision, I think a professional facilitator ought to be able to have a reasonable amount of time to write his decision to give to the police chief. So I think reasonable time limit in this instance makes a lot of sense, and I don't want to impede the work of our civilian oversight staff by having them forced to put out something hastily that makes a mistake when we want to get this done right. So aye.
Adams.
No. Motion fails. Let's vote on the underlying amendment. Please call the vote.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Motion passes. Entertain another motion.
So the one last one was the, I think it was just kind of a friendly.
So for those of you watching, that means that it is 2 weeks. Yeah, I realized we moved.
We had to give you a little drama, but, you know.
Okay. Commissioner Saltzman.
So I think this last amendment, which basically says the director of IPR or the commissioner in charge may request an expedited hearing of the Citizen Review Committee, to add in that the police chief may also request an expedited review. I think that's
a
friendly amendment. I move that.
Well, second.
It's been moved and seconded. It's now up for debate. Commissioner Fish?
I'm looking at the auditor and the director. They're nodding in the affirmative. I believe Commissioner Leonard said this is a friendly amendment. So my understanding is there's no controversy and that
we're going to vote on it anyway.
Okay.
Carla, would you please call the roll on the amendment?
Fritz.
So since this is the last amendment, I want to comment on the first two, which didn't get discussed because it wasn't a second. And I do want again to thank the chief for coming in on her being very sick. I think that the structure that you've put in place with having the chief involved in setting the criteria for the citizen members addresses the need there. And I also respond to that the mayor is making hand motions and distracting me.
Sorry.
But that we are going to fund this and that the commissioner in charge of police will have the opportunity to come to the council with budget requests. And I'm happy to vote aye on this.
Fish?
I think this creates an appropriate level of balance in terms of an appeal process and is a sensible amendment. I vote aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Amendment is approved. Further presentation from the panel before us?
No, but we do have.
Thank you for your work, Commissioner Leonard.
Thank you, Mayor Adams. I'd like now to invite the president of the Portland Police Commanding Officers Association, Dave Benson.
Good evening. You just need to give us your first and last name, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Good morning, Mayor. My name is Dave Benson, and I'm the president of the Portland Police Commanding Officers Association. I have no exhibits or amendments tonight, so I'll try to keep it very, very short. I've been a police officer in this city for approaching 26 years, and I've worked in every corner of this city. I and all my fellow Portland Police Bureau employees cared passionately about the city, its citizens, and your police agency. This brings me to the matter before you tonight. A little over 2 weeks ago, the association had the opportunity to review the first proposed ordinance before council. In the intervening 2 weeks, the association reviewed it, had time to discuss. We came to the council session on the 18th, and I listened to all the testimony on this subject, and I appreciate the concerns and sentiments of the speakers, including members of the community of faith and citizens that obviously care deeply about the city and Portland and are genuinely concerned about the police services delivered. Just today, we saw the second revision of the ordinance, and we've heard it discussed here tonight. So obviously, I expect along the way there'll be a few practical implementation issues and some labor issues that will undoubtedly work themselves over time. But what I'm really here to talk to you about tonight, and that has been said only in passing but is worth repeating, is that you have a department of fine police officers. Police work is arguably one of the most demanding professions. It is difficult work that routinely calls police officers to insert themselves into absolutely chaotic situations where outcomes are difficult to predict. But amazingly, the skills and abilities of our officers result in good results the vast majority of the time. And when they're not responding to the calls of service, we encourage our officers to be interested and curious about what is happening in the neighborhoods they patrol. We want them to spend their free time meeting the residents and talking about their concerns. Through these encounters, the livability of our neighborhoods in Portland is increased through reduced crime rates and the enhanced perception of safety. I know that this council supports that goal and underscores the need for our officers to be engaged and active. But I think it's worth saying that we all have a very, very good police department, and that should not be overshadowed by this ordinance or any of the negative press we've heard in recent days. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you very much.
So we also invited Scott Westman, President of the Portland Police Association. If Scott's not here, if there's any representatives of the Police Association who wishes to come forward, they are certainly welcome to at this point. If not, the last invited testimony that I have, Mayor Adams, is a member of the Bureau Advisory Committee, T.J. Browning. T.J.?
Ms. Browning, welcome back to council.
Start charging me rent. Ooh, revenue.
We could use it.
Good evening. My name is T.J. Browning. I'm chair of the Bureau Advisory Committee, and I'm here representing my committee, although I have to tell you it's with a great deal of discomfort. I have been involved in community accountability, police accountability and citizen review process for almost two decades now. And this is something I hold very near to my heart. It's a passion that I embrace completely, and it's a primary component of a successful community policing program. I appreciate that you want the response of the BAC on this ordinance. We do appreciate this. But our committee works on consensus, and this timeline was way too short for us. This is such, my personal knowledge of the process was helpful, but this is such a difficult issue to look at in a two-week span that we are incredibly uncomfortable with how short this timeline is, and that we feel like we sacrificed due diligence. So we apologize for the brevity of our report, but we just wanted to hit the highlights. And as somebody stated earlier, as of 1:30 today, some of them have already been addressed, so I'd like to say that, gosh, that's quick response, but it isn't. It's how do people come and comment on a creature that's changing right in front of our eyes. That makes me very uncomfortable. The three things I wanted to hit on was that the proposed ordinance doesn't appear to take into account the Citizens Review Committee structure of independent. We're a citizens committee. We respect citizens' work. This is not an endorsement of this report, but this is a very thorough and well-thought-out report and should have been taken into account in this ordinance. Second, the proposed police review board membership is out of balance, and it doesn't promote citizen and police partnership. And again, partnership is key to community policing. Way too many bureau members, not enough citizens sitting on that committee. If you really want trust and you want a credible decision, there needs to be an equal balance between citizen input and bureau input on that very important board. And last but not least, you've all heard this before, but this is the BAC's bandwagon. And Commissioner Leonard, you in particular should appreciate this. The Type 4 complaints is of grave concern to us. That's a really poor substitute for annual performance reviews. Those arbitrations we're losing, we need annual performance reviews. There's no way that you should take some minor discipline issue or transgression in employment to an outside board. That is a manager's position. And why we're tying up people's times with something like that is amazing to me. We need annual performance reviews of our bureau. That is the basic step to any accountability system. This makes us very uncomfortable. Thank you so much for the invitation. I'm just sorry we didn't have more time.
Thank you, Ms.
Brown. If I could just respond on the annual performance reviews, I have heard you and the Budget Advisory Committee, and we are going to be doing that.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Commissioner Fritz?
Commissioner Leonard, on the Stakeholder Committee, I think we omitted the Bureau Advisory Committee member. You have the authority under the revised ordinance to make sure that the community is well represented as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be willing to have a
Absolutely.
Bureau Advisory Committee? Because we
yeah.
do certainly appreciate your yeah. participation.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Commissioner Leonard, is that?
That's it.
Okay. Carla, how many are we up to now?
46.
Okay. So it is now 7:30. People were here in City Hall to sign up a couple hours beforehand, and we're going to go for 3 minutes each, at least for an hour, and then from there we might shorten it to two. We find that once we go 3 hours or more in these hearings, it everybody gets a little ragged. But we'll try to hear from everybody. Your time, if you signed up later, just might be a little faster. So as you're thinking about what you might say, keep that in mind if you're down the list. Carla.
The first three are Dr. Alan Bethel, Midge Purcell, and Martha Gumbez. They will be followed by Reverend Dr. Leroy Haynes, Joyce Harris, and Joanne Bowman.
And I forgot to mention, if she mentions your name and you're in that second group, that means please start making your way down the stairs. No jumping, just the stairs. Pastor.
Good evening, Dr. T. Allen Bethel, President of the Alabama Minister Alliance, Senior, running out the Church of Mayor Sam Adams, and to the Council. Come this evening after hearing a whole lot and don't know what I should say and where I should begin. But let me say, we do support the ordinance and what it is, a great step towards where we need to go. We do hope that it will continue to clearly give the IPR and CRC power to compel testimony in an office of misconduct cases. Also, their intent to investigate cases of police violence using ability to conduct independent investigations. And perhaps the most important thing that we want to echo as we go through supporting this ordinance and the changes that have been made in the amendments is that we always keep in mind what independent means, that it is not always allowing the fox to interview the fox, that somebody must stand up for the chickens. That means that we cannot have the Bureau always selecting and putting forth who is going to review the Bureau. We need to have citizens involved, and it needs to be very balanced in terms of how that is done. It would be something else for me to bring, and I thought about this, 14 bank robbers to investigate one bank robber. I believe that each of those 14 will say, that one's innocent. Let's go back and be independent. Let's put teeth into this amendment and this ordinance, and let's make sure that this ordinance, when it goes forth, does not get changed in the back room through a whole lot of other actions and buy-offs and things like that, that it stays true and it stays forward and it moves forward so that the people will always know that we can count on what this ordinance says it is going to do. We thank you for your support. We thank you for your support. And we thank you for your support. Don't let us down.
Thank you, Doctor. Midge.
Mayor Adams, Commissioners. My name is Midge Purcell, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Urban League of Portland. The Urban League is here as part of the Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Police Reform's effort to shine a light on the issue of police accountability. This independent police review ordinance is a useful first step, and I hope this commission will pass it and continue to strengthen speedy police oversight. Then we can get to the next steps. This ordinance, even if it's effective, deals with the aftermath of police use of excessive force. Even if it was effective, it would not bring back Kendra James or James Chassie or Aaron Campbell. Since we last convened in this chambers on this matter, there's been another death as a matter of a lethal force by Portland police, Jack Collins, a homeless man with mental disabilities. So we believe that in addition to more robust police investigative powers, it is important to put in place measures that reduce the probability that death by lethal force will happen in the first place. To do this, we believe that we must address issues of training and improve the ability of the police to deal with people with mental disabilities, the ability to deal with people who they may have assumptions about based on any number of factors, including race or culture. As some of my colleagues know, I lived in England for 20 years before moving to Portland. There, the police are unarmed. Police officers are trained to defuse situations without lethal force. If an armed response is necessary, it's only called as a matter of a last resort. I understand there's a greater police, a greater culture of violence in this country, and I'm not advocating unarmed police force, but I am advocating that there is greater control of the use of excessive force, greater responsibility, and its use as a last resort. I am the mother of a 19-year-old boy, and since moving here, I've experienced an ever-present sensation, and that sensation is fear. I don't know if an unfortunate encounter with the police bureau will have the same unspeakable results as that of Aaron Campbell's family and others that have had to deal with the tragedy of a police shooting in this family. I'm sure that the majority of police in Portland do not want to engender fear, but it is a fact. So I again urge you to pass this ordinance, but not to stop there. Make sure that the necessary changes are made to training and police oversight to ensure that police officers discharge his or her weapon rarely and without loss of life and as a last resort. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Martha.
Good evening, buenas noches, Mayor Adams and City Commissioners. My name is Marta Wembes, and I have been working with the Albina Minister Alliance in its many efforts over the years in justice and police reform. We first worked together after the killing of Jose Mejia Put in 201. I worked with IMA in the investigation into the police shooting of Kendra James. I also worked with them after the killing of James Charles Perez, and now working with them after the shooting of Aaron Campbell. The proposed reforms in the Independence Police Review Division are a good start, and I look forward to you passing them today. I can support the charges and you have proposed, even though I would like to see them more further. I was one of two community members who filed a complaint about the police beating of Mr. Mejia Put when he was 20 cents shy of his bus fare. That beating took place 2 days before he was killed in the psychiatric hospital. The IPR found no wrongdoing in that case, so my college and I filed an appeal. The Citizen Review Committee voted overwhelmingly to hear that appeal, but the IPR and the city auditor and the city attorney and internal affairs told them that they could not. They gave many excuses, such as, this was a shooting case, but the complaint was not about a beating. They said, you waited it too long after the appeal was filed to hold a hearing. But there was no rule at that time preventing CRC from changing its mind. The IPR in the city won out there was no formal appeal. With months after the chair of the CRC and four other members resigned in protest because the IPR was not supporting them and they felt they had no power. The same city attorney who advises the police bureau also advises the IPR and the CRC. The conflict of interest is only partly addressed in the ordinance. I also want to say that I filed a complaint personally about an officer who profiled me in my own neighborhood. The IPR did not handle my complaint to my satisfaction. They did offer me a chance to have an IPR staff person who did not investigate the first time look at my complaint. I still feel I should have the chance to bring my case to the Citizen Review Committee. So I hope that some of these changes can be made in the 90-day review period when the council will be voting on this issue again. So I really thank you, all of you, for taking this time, and I think that the police review have the board that we can trust and believe in this time. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it.
Next three are Reverend Dr. Leroy Haynes, Joyce Harris, and Joanne Bowman. They'll be followed by Mark Kramer, Brenda Cefuentes, and Dan Handelman.
Good evening. Welcome back to City Council. Pastor Haynes.
To Mayor Sam Adams and distinguished members of the City Council, I am the Reverend Dr. Leroy Haynes, Chairperson of the Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform. There is an urgent need in the City of Portland to restore trust between the community of Portland, racial ethnic communities, and the Portland Police Bureau. The recent shooting by police officers of Jack Dale Collins, and particularly of Aaron Campbell, and the past shootings of James Jaher Perez, Kendra James, Jose Mijat Poot, as well as the excessive force deaths of James Chassie and others, has created, Mr. Mayor, within our community, a sense of fear and a sense of mistrust within the community itself. And we come here today in this sense of brokenness and the trust between citizens of Portland and the police bureau. Although the overwhelming majority of police officers do their job in a professional and respectful manner, the present and past incidents clearly show that a major problem exists within the bureau as it relates to the use of deadly force and excessive force, to the extent that it has created a climate of fear and mistrust between citizens and the police. And therefore, it is absolutely essential that the City Council urgently address the problems that have created the brokenness and mistrust in our city between the police and citizens. And one means of addressing the brokenness and mistrust is to create a stronger system that holds police officers accountable who violate the public trust in deadly force and excessive force cases. And we believe that the Commissioner Leonard proposed ordinance is a major step in getting us closer to a system of holding police officers accountable when the public trust is violated. Therefore, Mr. Mayor and commissioners, we believe, although that certain areas of this ordinance should be stronger, we endorse this ordinance. Let us unite together as citizens and civic officials, the Portland Police Bureau, and even the union, to fix the problem that creates brokenness and mistrust in our community.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Harris?
Yes, good evening, Mayor Adams, commissioners. My name is Joyce Harris. I'm the co-chair of the African American Alliance. And I must say that before I even start, I want for all of us to acknowledge the mother and the parents of Aaron Campbell and the mother of the young woman who was shot with the beanbag. They are here in the gallery. Mm-hmm. And it's for them that we do the work that we do. And it's for the children in our community who we hope are not victims of police violence. And I have been around for a long time, and I could call the roll: Tony Stevenson, Kenny Allen, Charles Menifee, James Perez, Kendra James, Byron Hammett, Aaron Campbell. There are families in our communities who are still hurting from the loss of the lives of their loved ones. James Baldwin once said, nothing can be changed unless it's faced. And I think our city is at a critical moment where we must face this. We demand that this be faced. The names of these people and so many others demand that we address this issue of accountability. We all know that in some of these incidents, if the average citizen were to behave in the same way, they would be doing jail time. So I support this ordinance. I'm glad that you had the discussion about timely, because frankly, timely for us means the same as with all deliberate speed. You know, whenever, you know, you get around to it, you know, we'll make it happen. There are a couple of words that to this, our community, just impact us in ways that you can't imagine. Justifiable homicide, timely manner, no wrongdoing, feeling threatened. Well, citizens are feeling threatened in this city. I hate to say that, but I hear citizens now saying, you know, I'm afraid of the police. And that shouldn't be. We have officers who serve and protect us very well. And so that's why we all know that it is possible for our officers to behave in ways that make us feel safe. I also would like to, once again, I'm not naive. I don't think anybody is. There's a lot of work to be done. This ordinance is not going to be the fix-it. It's not the silver bullet. It's a step, but there are a series of things that need to happen. We need to look at the makeup of our police bureau. We need to look at the cultural sensitivity that will help our officers engage with our citizens in different and productive ways. One of the things that I heard from Dave, I can't remember his last name, he said something about these shootings shouldn't overshadow. And that's what we're saying, should not overshadow the work of the good officers who choose to try to de-escalate situations. And that's what we want. You know, no one's saying that the Bureau is totally, everybody in the Bureau is not doing their job. But all it takes, remember that thing? One bad apple, or one person who makes a decision that is not the right decision, and takes everybody.
Ms. Harris, I appreciate your testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. Sorry.
It's okay. Ms. Bowman.
Good afternoon, mayors, city commissioners. For the record, my name is Joanne Bowman, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you once again. 2 weeks ago, I sat right in this spot, maybe it was that spot, and said I wholeheartedly supported the first steps that Commissioner Randy Leonard was taking in moving this ordinance forward. As much of the changes as I could follow today, and you guys were fast and furious, so it's really hard when you're out in the audience to try to figure out what's in and what's out. But from based on what I heard today, we still strongly support this as a first step in making sure that we have more accountability for police who choose to protect and serve us. And that's a very important point. This is a job that people aren't required to do. They supposedly go through detailed training. They supposedly have had mental health intervention training. And yet, over and over and over again, we find ourselves in a place where we as the community have no accountability for the people who are supposed to protect and serve us. I want to applaud Commissioner Dan Saltzman for finally accepting the fact that when you have over 900 employees, to not do an annual evaluation is absolutely inexcusable. Yes. I also want to applaud the city in general for letting the community know that the contract negotiations are open to community members, even though you may know that we are now under a fair contract violation because, heaven forbid, the public actually came in the room to actually see how their interest was being served in this negotiation. And I want you to know that as a member of the public and as an organized effort, we will be back when those negotiations start again. And I want to get a commitment from this city commission that you will continue to stand firm that this is our business. And for someone to sit in a meeting and say, well, all these people here have no interest in this. I'm sorry. This is our community. They are supposed to protect and serve us all. And so when those contract negotiations start again, I expect that they will still be open and that the public will still be able to participate. The last thing I want to say before I run out of time, you may have seen a poll done by KATU-TV on 324 that asked the question, do you trust or not trust the police? What's surprising about this poll is that for people of color,
the percentage is radically different on people who do not trust the police. 82% of Hispanics do not trust the Portland police. So I want to be specific. This was specific to Portland police officers, not a general question. 67% of African Americans do not trust the police. Only 30% of whites do not trust the police. Clearly, there is a racial divide in our community, and it's based on experience. And so we appreciate this first step in unifying our community to make sure that all of us are served and protected. Thank you so much. I appreciate you listening.
Thank you all for your testimony.
The next three are Mark Kramer, Brenda Cifuentes, and Dan Handelman. And they'll be followed by Debbie Aona, Chris O'Connor, and Bishop A.A. Wells.
Good evening. Welcome to the City Council. We're glad that you're here. Mr. Kramer.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and City Commissioners. I appear on behalf of the Portland Chapter of the National Lawyers Guild and as a proud member of the AMA Coalition for Justice and Police Reform. As we said 2 weeks ago, we strongly support this ordinance as a first step, but it is only a first step toward effectiveness, transparency, and credibility of a system that we don't have now. I have a couple of points to make and six specific suggestions to consider in the short and the long term. We applaud the 90-day review period that's part of the ordinance and the stakeholder committee, and we want that process to consider at minimum the CRC report, which is out, and the major changes suggested in the CRC reports, as well as a number of the other changes that have been discussed and will be discussed here tonight. We also think it is critical that the council look at this measure not only in 90 days when we're just getting started, but within 1 year of the implementation to discuss the long-term trends and the effectiveness of the ordinance and to discuss changes again that will be discussed here this evening. As to the specific changes that we would look for both in the short term and the long term period to make this, again, credible, effective, and transparent. We think that IPR should conduct investigations on civilian complaints, that is the type 1 complaints, without having an IAD interface. It is a waste of time, it is a waste of money, and it's not provide a credible process. And we think that in the next budget process, the funds that are dedicated to the IAD investigation of type 1 complaints, that is citizen-generated complaints, should be shifted to the IPR. Now, as to the specific changes that need to be accomplished through collective bargaining, we urge not only the city, but the PPA to work together to ensure that these changes occur through collective bargaining. Number one, to permit IPR to directly question a police officer and to require the officer to respond as a condition of employment. As you know, we currently have still in this ordinance the convoluted process where IPR asks IAD, who asks the officer a question. The officer tells IAD, and IAD tells IPR, it's not credible, it's not effective, it's not transparent. That needs to change through collective bargaining. Critically, we need to expand IPR's authority to conduct independent investigations of shootings and deaths in custody. There are two portions of the provision right now that prohibit that. Right now, under the ordinance, we can only look at closed cases of deaths in custody, and the IPR director can only take into account incidents of community concern. That needs to change in collective bargaining. Particularly, this, to be a credible body, needs to have the power to review deaths in custody and police shootings, and they don't have that power right now. I have a couple of other changes to recommend, but I'm out of time.
Thank you.
I really appreciate the Mr. Kramer, the time that you took to write down all your points, and we'll definitely read through them.
Thank you.
Ms. Fuentes.
Hello. My name is Brenda C. Fuentes, and I'm an organizer with Portland Jobs with Justice. We are a membership coalition of 85 organizations that include unions, community, faith, and student groups. We are here today in support of the ordinance and believe it's the right step in the right direction. We support efforts of police reform policies as it pertains to use of lethal force, training and hiring, racial profiling, and civilian oversight to ensure that tragedy does not continue to happen in our community. JOSJ got involved in police accountability work several years ago when AMA had an ad hoc committee in response to the Kendra James killing. We engaged our member organizations in conversations and made a collective decision that it was important for us, as a bridge between labor and community orgs, to speak and take action on these issues. We are here several years later in the wake of what happened to Aaron Campbell and most recently Jack Dale Collins. It seems more important than ever that we stand with AMA and speak up for real change. This ordinance is a step in the right direction to ensure full citizenship, participation, and oversight is happening. There needs to be accountability and trust between the police and the community, and this bond has been damaged, and we will continue to be degraded as you as commissioners do not take the action by passing this crucial ordinance. Police should never be the law unto themselves or be above the law. Community input is crucial and needs to be taken seriously, and this is why we stand in solidarity with the AMA Coalition for Justice and Police Reform and support ordinance as a first step in creating real change.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Mr. Handelman.
Good evening, Mayor Adams and Commissioners. I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch. I am co-chair of the Policy and Training Committee of the AMA Coalition for Justice and Police Reform. We encourage you to pass this ordinance today, and we look forward to stronger input about CRC and other issues in 90 days. As we'll have a seat on the stakeholder committee, we'll bring you that list of details that we want to see. As I said last time, and it's still true even with the amendments, still most of the investigations under this ordinance are going to be done by police investigating other police, and we agree with what Mr. Kramer said, that that should change as soon as it can. We hope that the council will direct the collective bargaining to go in the direction of removing the obstacles to having a true police review board, and that includes also the ability to investigate shootings and deaths in custody. I want to point out that the first Park report released in 2003 recommended that a civilian member be added to what was then called the Review Level Committee. What we're talking about is the Police Review Board today, and that the citizen member should be decided by the elected officials. So what you're doing today complies with the Park report from 2003. They also recommended that there should be a fully funded civilian body that oversees shootings and deaths in custody investigations. And that's why it's so important for you, if you're going to follow the Park reports, to deal with that in the collective bargaining process. And we work with Jobs with Justice. We support the right to collectively bargain. I think I said before, those parts of the union contract step over the line from benefits and wages and working conditions into public policy. Chief Sizer mentioned the idea of a consent decree. It's great that the Portland Police Bureau has taken a lot of changes and the city has made a lot of changes voluntarily, but we're still having corruption, brutality, and racism in our bureau despite all these changes. So we don't want to see the federal government come in and make a consent decree. We want to see these changes come from you, and thank you for taking leadership on this today. One of the things about members of the board being picked by the chief is that there's a member who talked to the press and said that after she raised some important questions, she was not invited back again. And I'm hoping that you will consider removing the ability of the chief to recommend people getting off the board, because I found that very disconcerting when we read that in the press. One of the things that we're most excited about is that the subpoena powers have been clarified by the amendments in the ordinance, that the IPR said very clearly they're going to use those subpoena powers to bring in retired officers, officers from other jurisdictions, and yet they're going to have the power, if you give it to them, have the power to compel officer testimony through threat of termination or other discipline. That's what the IAD does now, and that's what we'd like to see the IPR do. But this ordinance is very clear, and this is something the community's been asking for at least 10 years, and much longer than that. Thank you.
Thank you all for your testimony. Appreciate it. Carla.
Next three are Debbie Ayona, Chris O'Connor, and Bishop A.A. Wells. They'll be followed by Reverend Skipper Oababme, Greg Kafori, and Kevin Howard. Sir, Chris O'Connor. Okay, let's go ahead and go with Bishop A.A. Wells.
Bishop Wells. He was just
Skipper
here.
Osborne.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
Please come. Yeah. Let's not forget Bishop Wells, though. Hi, welcome to the City Council.
Good evening, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Debbie Iona, representing the League of Women Voters of Portland. The League supports the proposal before you and appreciates the effort Auditor Griffin Vallade, Commissioner Leonard, and the IPR staff have devoted to taking this very important first step in reforming the city's police oversight system. We urge its passage this evening and strongly support the creation of the stakeholder group responsible for making further recommendations. I would like to highlight a few of the League's suggestions for additional changes tonight. The Citizen Review Committee represents the public in our police oversight system and needs adequate support and authority to accomplish its work. It currently consists of 9 members serving 2-year terms. In addition to monthly meetings, members serve on work groups studying specific issues and also devote many hours preparing for appeal hearings. They deal with complex information, and the learning curve is steep. For these reasons, the League recommends increasing the number of members to 11 and the length of term to 3 years. Gathering community concerns and recommending policy changes to both the Bureau and IPR are 2 of CRC's more important duties. They need staff and financial support to carry these out. The CRC recently organized a community forum but had to overcome obstacles regarding hiring a facilitator and securing a meeting location. Dedicated staff and financial resources for use at CRC discretion likely would result in more opportunities for CRC and public dialogue and promote greater community involvement in policy discussions. The current code requires the CRC to use the reasonable person standard of review and appeal hearings. This standard has proven to be problematic since IPR's inception. Eileen Luna Firebaugh stated in her 2008 IPR performance review that, quote, "The reasonable person standard is more difficult for the layperson to understand than the preponderance standard used by Portland Internal Affairs Division in its investigations, by other civilian oversight agencies, and in civil law," close quote. The League recommends that the standard of review be changed to preponderance of the evidence. We agree with what's been said about the issue of independent investigations. I think that the IPR needs to be doing more of those, and as a start, we should be defining specific types of cases that should always be independently investigated by the IPR and hope that the stakeholder group will work on that. So finally, we urge you your approval of this tonight, and thank you all for your consideration. Thanks.
Thank you. Bishop Wells, welcome.
Thank you. Mayor Adams, Commissioner Leonard, Commissioner Fritz, Commissioner Salzman, Commissioner Fish, I'm Bishop A.A. Wells. I am the chairperson for the Legislative Committee for the Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform. I must say that I'm somewhat hardened by this ordinance that's before you and the initiative that you've taken to present it. Having served as the chair of the Investigation Committee of the Kendra James shooting, and along with 3 other members during that particular time, and seeing firsthand just how broken the system was in responding to when there are shootings and there's behavior on the part of officers and corrective action does not occur. We read some 600 pages dealing with what the detectives had found in the testimonies of those who had served, the officers that were involved, and we saw very clear untruths throughout that investigation. The shooting officer before the grand jury says 80% of his body was in the car. When he did the demonstration, he was not at all, maybe 50% of his body is in the car. The officers that's following him says his back is to them, but he demonstrates with his face to them. Before they went to the Applebee's restaurant, one of his fellow officers says that he's away from the car and I hear the shot. After they go to Applebee's and come back, he's deep in the car, I hear the shot. throughout that investigation, there was just woeful inaccuracies, untruths, and the system nowhere caught those and dealt with them. I'm heartened that in this amendment, at least when they are before the IPR committee, that with respect to state stature, which state stature says nothing about the limits of a police officer in engaging with deadly force. It only talks about what he's able to do. There's nothing that sanctions him or that restricts what he can do. All he has to do is perceive that there is a danger and he can fire. No wonder we never have a true bill, something that says he overacted, a misappropriate act. So in this particular action, at least before the IPR, he's required to be truthful, and he's required to be professional, and he's required to be courteous. This did not happen to Kendra James, and I submit it probably have not happened a number of other times. So we are most hopeful, therefore, that this proposal pass, and it's a beginning, and that we'll continue to improve upon it. Last thing I would say, I believe that there is a need for a recalibration. Those powers that have been in place that help to maintain the status quo, that's why we are where we are. And we continue to have the shootings, and we say they should not have happened, yet there is no corrective action that have occurred. I do believe this is a first step forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Bishop Wells. Good evening.
Good evening. I am Reverend A. Period Skipper Osborne, founder of Today for Truth and Justice for All, a civil rights organization, former president of the Portland branch NAACP, and a member of the Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform. Mayor Adams and members of the City Council, the proposed ordinance by Commissioner Randy Leonard and City Auditor LaVon Griffin Valale is heading in the right direction for a better oversight of the Portland Police Bureau. The current rash of shootings by certain police officers which resulted in deaths is unacceptable. Commissioner Leonard's and City Auditor Griffin Valale's proposed ordinance is the beginning of the breaking of the secrecy behind closed door operations and investigations by the Portland Police Bureau. Therefore, we the people believe that the adoption of this proposed ordinance will strengthen the Independence Review Board and help the IPR do its job more equitably, justly, truthfully, and help prevent the gross criminal negligence by certain Portland police officers and their getting away with justifiable homicide. We the people also believe it is equally important in light of March 12, 2010 meeting of the Portland Police Association and the City of Portland that the meetings concerning the labor agreement between the Portland Police Association and the City of Portland be totally open to the public and the media. Oregon Revised Statute 192.620 policy states that the Oregon form of government requires an informed public aware of the deliberations and decisions of governing bodies and the information upon which decisions were made. It is the intent of ORS 192.610 to 192.690 that decisions of governing body be arrived openly. Oregon Revised Statute 192.630, meetings of governing body to be open to the public. Locations of meetings, all meetings of the governing body of a public body shall be open to the public, and all persons shall be permitted to attend any meeting. Subparagraph 4, meetings of the governing body shall be held within the geographic boundaries over which the public body has jurisdiction. The reason I bring that up is because the Portland Police Association wanted to go, say, maybe to the Hilton Hotel or somewhere to do it. But this ordinance right here says that it must be in a public meeting. I am going to, I gave definitions of some of the terms in here, meetings and so forth and so on. I'm just going to jump down. Therefore, it is the duty of this sitting City Council to uphold the openness law according to the aforementioned Oregon Revised Statutes and to support City Negotiator Mr. Steve Heron, Ms. Yvonne Decker, Head of City Bureaus of Human Resources, City Auditor Griffin Velotti, the news media, and most important of all, we the people. I have taken a quote attributed to the Irish playwright Mr. Bernard Shaw, and I added my thoughts. If you have an apple and I have an apple, we exchange apples, then you and I will still